Now to our series of reports on the plastic problem. Last week, economics correspondent Paul Solman looked at the recycling crunch the United States now faces as China has stopped accepting much of our waste. This week, he tries to answer the question, so what do we do now? The story is part of our weekly series, Making Sense, which runs every Thursday.
We can't put these in our recycling, chips bags, cookie wrappers.
You can't?
We can't put it in the regular recycling. But there's another organization. They recycle all kinds of things.
You might think, if only each of us did as Cambridge, Massachusetts recycling fanatic Meera Singh does.
Oftentimes when I go to heaven, which is what I call our recycling center. I call it heaven.
Heaven.
Everyone should go there.
To Meera Singh, heaven. To most Americans, not even on the radar.
Good karma, you recycle, you go to heaven.
So you can't be serious. This is heaven?
Yeah, to some of our residents, this is heaven.
Michael Orr runs recycling for Cambridge, where more than a few highly motivated recyclers like Singh reside. Classy book exchange, classy, somewhat bigger ticket items.
Such as the chair I'm sitting on right now. This is something that a resident dropped off and said, I no longer need, and later today, someone will be taking this chair home.
With China and other countries suddenly rejecting our recyclables and trash prices rising as landfills close down, one response might be to emulate Cambridge's recycling cadre while disciplining the rest of us.
Bubble wrap.
It would be nice to know exactly what to put in the bins.
This shouldn't go in recycling.
Bubble wrap and plastic bags, plastic film in general, should not be going in the recycling.
Because
it jams up the machinery. It's the number one contaminant and the number one most damaging contaminant in the recycling facilities.
Can't recycle this?
Paper plates are tricky ones. What we're looking for are clean paper products. Often paper plates have food product on it, or maybe it's coated in wax.
And pizza boxes?
Well, as long as there's no food in it, the grease is okay and they can recycle it.
The grease is okay?
Yeah, we can recycle pizza boxes.
You're making me feel better.
But so much that's put into the bins is not okay. So Cambridge tries to teach people with a little tough love.
Our driver will go, put a rejection sticker on it, note to them what they did wrong, and they'll have to call us and clean it up, and then we'll come back and pick it up the next day. But every once in a while, we have to kind of nudge people in the right direction.
I'd say that's more like a shove than a nudge.
The city also has an instructional sorting game in their Cambridge Recycles app and videos posted on their website, including one for kids.
Trash. Or compost.
Yeah.
As does the state of Massachusetts, with nearly 250 communities taking part in an effort to educate consumers. But the problem with single-stream recycling, where you don't sort out plastics, paper, or metal, it means lots of work at the plant. There is, however, a major garbage stream that can be isolated for recycling, food waste, which makes up a quarter of all trash. Most of it ends up rotting in landfills, where it generates methane, a greenhouse gas way more potent than carbon dioxide.
Follow suit.
So why not compost organic matter, thought Mike Orr's predecessor, Randy Mayle, back in 2002.
It's something that makes it possible for people not to really have to do anything other than just drop their banana peels in a different container.
And 16 years after she had the idea, Cambridge is turning food waste into clean energy, with pickup citywide, at a new plant in nearby Charlestown.
Some of this, I believe, came from a grocery store. Perhaps it's expired product.
Eric Myers runs the food waste operation.
And that material, they want to recycle it, but it's not suitable for human consumption.
But it's been a lot easier to just dump outdated orange juice and yesterday's wieners, dead heads of lettuce and bummer hummus. Even no good Necco wafers, named for the recently shuttered New England candy company, just a few miles away. Instead, they're all now churned into what's called an engineered bioslurry.
We have a blending process to make what we like to think of as kind of an energy super shake that has an incredible amount of energy. We just think of it as food waste, but it's really fats and sugars and carbohydrates and proteins.
So every day, some 10,000 gallons of super shake is piped into tankers and trucked 30 miles north, where it's transformed into fuel, the same way wastewater recovery facilities treat dirty water. Right now, at this plant, the energy is being used to power the wastewater plant itself. But in the future,
Every ton we receive here, we can generate enough power to power about nine homes.
Meaning that when this plant hits its handling capacity of 250 tons a day, it can power 2,400 homes. The U.S. generates something like 100,000 tons of food waste a day, but barely 5% of it is being recycled. Use it all, and we'd be able to power more than 1 million homes a day. And that's not all.
In addition to extracting energy from the food waste, they also take the solids that are left over, they put them through another testing process, and they create a product that, in this case, is a pellet product.
So they're just like little grains here.
That's right. That's used for fertilization of fields and farms, turf applications.
It's also about 30 to 40% cheaper to dispose of per ton than trash, which saves Cambridge money, says Mike Orr.
Since the launch of curbside compost, we've seen a 10% decrease in our trash.
So Randy Mayle's early vision is reality, at least for Cambridge.
In order to change the system, we need to make a commitment to buy our own recyclables and use our own recyclables in American manufacturing and make sure that we're not reliant on exports.
So you mean stimulate recycling industry or industries which use recycled products here in America?
Yeah. Reopen paper mills that have closed, require paper products to be made with higher percentages of recycled content, and make a commitment from an institution standpoint to buy these materials.
And here's where our story takes a surprisingly, and or perhaps just wishfully, positive turn. The state's Greg Cooper thinks the China clampdown might actually prompt such changes.
These recyclable materials are commodities like soybeans or oranges or coal or anything else, and they have a value. And new investments are being made domestically to try to manage that material. What we always see in the markets is the markets adjust.
The market for recycled plastics in the Northeast is one example. Many recycling firms, including the one servicing Cambridge, funnel their plastics to carpet manufacturers. This plant in Virginia turns about 6 billion plastic bottles into rugs every year. And closer to home, a new firm, Preserve, just outside Boston, has begun to turn local plastics into kids' toothbrushes and heavy-duty cutlery, among many other items. In the end, though, this might not be so bad for the Chinese economy either. Some Chinese firms have now announced deals to buy American paper mills. For the PBS NewsHour, this is economics correspondent Paul Solman reporting from in and around Cambridge, Massachusetts.